Well, today we have four ladies that are going to be sharing sort of the message together with us, a little bit of a panel discussion. And they are my mother, my wife, my sister, and also Jenny Cana. And you say, how did Jenny get to be a part of that panel? Well, she used to live with my mom for a while, and so we're making her an honorary Wells this morning. And so these ladies are going to share with us on the theme of a challenging time, and I know that you're going to be blessed and encouraged by them.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. It sure is good to be with you online this morning because I've been really missing you in person. Well, 2 months ago, a storm blew into our lives by the name of COVID-19. It was unexpected, and our church lives and our personal lives as we knew them changed dramatically, some probably more dramatically than others. But things aren't as they used to be. And the problem is that this storm is still happening and bringing with it times of uncertainty, fear, and frustration. And yet we're not without hope today. Because as Christians, we know that Jesus stills storms and that he can help us weather them. He's the stability of our times, and with his help, we can rise above the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because when we're weak, he's strong, and his grace is sufficient for us if we can tap into that enabling grace. Well, that's what the four of us girls here today want to do. We know that Christ has been the anchor in the storms of life that we've faced personally before, and even in this COVID-19 storm. And so we want you to tap into that grace with us today. We want to help you overcome any new challenges that you might be facing during these days of isolation and social distancing. So let's begin by looking at a few of these challenges today, girls, that this season has brought into our lives. And maybe we can help these folks gain some coping skills from the Word of God and even from our personal testimonies. So let's talk about the first one, the area of disappointment, because this has been a big one for many of us. Our lives, let's face it, have been just disrupted, and we can't do the things that we plan to do. Young people's sport events, musicals, graduations, school parties, all of those things have been canceled. Weddings have had to be postponed, holidays and mission trips. Even our Global Impact Celebration was canceled this year, and my favorite event of the summer, our LifeLinks Family Camp, isn't happening. So I've been disappointed. But Jenny, I know that you had a lot of things planned in the coming days, and some of those things involved your family. And I know some of those things brought a lot of disappointment into your life. And so can you share with us just a little bit about how you handled that disappointment and about this and maybe about some other things in your life?
Yeah, well, I know, as Linda just said, if ever there was a season when we've all experienced disappointment at the same time on a global level, this was it. And for me personally, I experienced quite a homesick period at the start of this year. And one thing that kept me going was knowing that my parents and my brother were coming out in July. And obviously, plans change very quickly. They were coming out in April to celebrate a significant birthday with me. So that was a lot of disappointment to walk out. And actually, we had a Zoom call on my birthday instead with my family. And another disappointment that I had on my birthday itself was to hear that my brother's wedding that was planned for July had been cancelled. And so that was my other time to go home. And so I was starting to realize that actually seeing my family and my friends back home, all the plans that I had already had were falling apart. And there was so much disappointment that I was looking at. And even for my birthday, as I said, it was a significant age, and I had a lot of expectations and plans and hopes that I wanted to have happen in my life at this point, and I get to this age and realize they haven't happened, and there's more disappointment. And I'm sitting here today on Mother's Day as a daughter, but I'm not sitting here as a mother, and that's something that's difficult to deal with. I have three beautiful godsons back home, and I joke with their mum that I always claim them as my own whenever people are telling stories about their kids, because I don't have any of my own, so I use them, and they're adorable. But it's hard. Being a mother isn't my reality right now, and I know there's a lot of other people out there that walk the same disappointment, men and women alike, of being a parent. And so sometimes our lives don't look like what we hoped for, and it can be disappointing. And it's hard to build up the faith that better things are to come or will happen when you face a lot of disappointment. And when we face disappointment, I feel like sometimes we have a tendency to do one of two things. We either camp out in it and live in our disappointment for too long, or we can have this mentality and this pep talk of like, just suck it up, you know, it's not as bad as everyone else. And you try and minimize it and saying things could be worse, other people have it worse than me. And sometimes that's true, but even right now, we're all going through the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat, and disappointments that we're facing are different for everybody. But it doesn't make your own disappointment any easier, just to think of that. It still hurts. There's a grieving process, I think, that has to happen when you walk through it, because it really is an emotion that you have to acknowledge, and you have to say that it is valid and allow yourself to experience the disappointment. Because when we're disappointed and we're frustrated, what happens is what we've expected doesn't line up with what we experience. And I remember hearing a sermon about Martha when Lazarus died. And in John 11, Martha sent word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the expectation was that Jesus was going to come straight away and heal Lazarus. But the reality and what Martha experienced was that Jesus waited 2 days and then Lazarus died. And what I love about this story, though, is Martha's response to her disappointment. It says in John 11, 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. She went out to meet him. She didn't wait for Jesus to get to her. And if I'm honest, at times when I've faced disappointment, I don't want to go to Jesus. Right. I want to sit in my own hurt a little bit longer. I want to be upset. I want to be a little bit mad, if I'm honest. But sitting there in my hurt and my frustration doesn't actually help me. It doesn't make it go away. And so Martha went to Jesus and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She told him exactly how she was feeling. She didn't hold any punches. She just went to him and said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She didn't say the Christian, I'm fine, everything's okay, and be dealing with her world falling apart. She told Jesus exactly how she was feeling. And then straight after that, she says, but I know even now that God will give you whatever you ask. And she told him that she knew he was still God. If we believe that Jesus walked this earth fully as a man, then we have to believe that he experienced disappointment too. And so the emotion isn't something that's new to him. He can handle hearing our disappointment. We can allow it to be expressed to Jesus because he already knows what's going on in our hearts and in our minds and what we're feeling emotionally. But the lesson is not to stay there, because disappointment can so quickly turn into bitterness and a lack of trust, and we find ourselves walking down an even harder road. For me, I know that when I'm in that low place, I have to go to worship. That's my place where I need to get alone and put some worship music on, and something changes when I can just listen to those words, and it forces my eyes heavenward. If I listen to it, I can't help but think about God. I can't help but think about those words. And I might not always be singing it straight away, but I know that eventually the words will come out and the praise will start to lift. And the very words of every worship song force you to look at something else other than yourself. And a song that's been my go-to in this season, especially as I'm walking through these disappointments, is a song called Most Beautiful. And the one line that just strikes me is, it says, with just one look, everything changes. And that's my mantra right now as I walk out this disappointment. All it takes is one look. I believe that he is the God of miracles. I believe that he can change my circumstance in an instant. And he can turn my disappointment into dancing. We sang about dancing in worship. Yeah. And he's done it before, so I know that he can do it again. I believe God is faithful in his promises that he's made to me. And I'm confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The greatest thing that we can remember is it's not wrong to be disappointed, but it's what you do when you are disappointed that will determine how God can use you.
Wow. I like that. It's not what you do. No, it's what you do. It's what you do when you're disappointed that will determine how God can use you. That's, as Jenny calls it, a mic drop. That was a good mic drop, Jenny. Well, the second area that we want to deal with today is about dealing with the area of lethargy and complacency in our lives. And my daughter-in-law, Angela, is going to share in this area. And for those of you that know Angela like I do, you know that Angela is anything but complacent and lethargic. So I'm really interested to hear what she's going to share with us today about how we can deal with this area in our lives.
Well, I'm sharing today for a couple of reasons. The first being the pastor asked me to, and when he's your husband, it's best to say yes, because you could end up in a sermon illustration before you know it. But the second and most important reason is I just want to be obedient to the Lord, and I'm hoping what I have to say will be relatable and relevant in this season. Unlike Jenny, I need to stick to my notes. As I thought on life since mid-March, my eyes were quickly opened to the fact that there were some areas personally that I was not coping well in. Self-reflection is hard. I usually try to avoid it at all costs. The biggest area of change was our home routines. It was weird not to be running all over the place with a million things to do, lists, five active humans in our house to keep track of. When I thought of it, the idea that came to mind was my life was a boat. Jenny actually mentioned that we're in a boat. And I was traveling on a river. I had to adjust often to stay on course and out of danger, but rarely did I ever have to paddle. The current of my life, the hectic schedules, responsibilities, and running on adrenaline, those things were more than enough to keep me moving on ahead. So a week or two into this, and I realized something. With all of the hype surrounding the crisis, none of the immediate threats or dangers directly affected those in my life or myself in a critical way. Food, housing, and healthcare, those things are all taken care of. We can pay our bills, give a bit extra to COVID relief, and if we need it, our government will even provide aid. Life truly wasn't that bad, and I feel a bit guilty saying it. But can anyone else relate to these circumstances? I missed a lot of things, don't get me wrong, but I concluded that the trade-offs were good too. Less stress, simpler routines, spending evenings with family, in the same house, at the same time, these were all big benefits. I told myself, all of this is just temporary, it's out of your control, so why fight it? Getting back to my picture, I put the oars away in my little boat, and I let the river take me where it willed. Here is where I went off course. Once I had decided to give in to my circumstances, it did not take long at all for me to slip into complacency. That word complacent means self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. I'm not saying God didn't want me to take this time to rest, but I quickly went past rest and dove straight into lethargy. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual apathy, they all fed into this drowsiness. Most often lethargy is induced by disease, injury, or drugs. Yes, I have health struggles, but COVID is not the cause of them. I couldn't blame it on that. I began to face that this oppression was brought on by me. It was my own doing. Now, I knew I was not in a good place, but it still wasn't enough for me to change. I found a good verse to justify myself in Luke 12. It says, "And I'll sit back and say to myself, soul, you have many good things stored up, enough for many years. Rest and relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Doesn't that sound wonderful? That verse right there in black and white says, "Angela, you have good things stored up. Take it easy. Enjoy yourself. You know what? You deserve it." For those of you who know your Bible, you'll also know that I just took that verse completely out of context. It is, in fact, a very direct warning. The verse right after says, "I'm a fool if I spend my life caught up in the comforts, possessions, and securities of this world. Those things can be gone in a moment." Instead, it says to pursue a rich relationship with God. God is using this verse and many others to challenge me to examine my character, my perseverance, and my discipline. All our journeys are not the same, but with everything we face, we can choose our outlook, attitude, and course of action. Now, processing my feelings is not a natural gifting, like I said, but I had to ask myself, had I allowed the current of COVID to take me onto the shore, become stagnant and sidelined? Was I making choices that were lazy, selfish, just getting by, giving others and God the bare minimum? I couldn't deny my answer, and I was convicted. I knew I needed to start steering my boat with purpose again, I needed to get my oars back in the water. Ephesians 5:15-17 says it well. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Luke 21:34 says it as well. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing, drunkenness, and the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times. So how can I break free? That's right, I'm not out of this yet. There is a trick to this. You must, everyone ready?
Yeah.
You must marry a pastor. Linda, no? We both did, but.
Sure.
No, I'm kidding. Of course that's not it. It boils right down to my intimacy with Jesus, that rich relationship with him that Luke talks about. Satan, the enemy of my soul, wants me to settle, to stop growing, to stay in my lethargy. He would love nothing better than to see me isolated for good, long past when social distancing is over and a thing of the past. I must shake off the heaviness and the deceit of this complacency and allow the literal spirit of Jesus to inhabit my innermost being and put no restrictions on how that looks. I accept that my decisions, mine alone, got me into this, but I trust the lover of my soul to be with me as I fight my way out. I know that each of our rivers look different, but if you're alive and breathing, you are the one steering your attitude, choices, and the direction of your boat. Perhaps you're listening and saying that you don't relate to my story, that my river is pretty tame, and maybe in comparison to yours, it is. Only Jesus truly knows the struggles of everyone here today, but I will say this, we all need to allow Jesus to get in the boat with us. He's been through the rapids. He's maneuvered the rocks many times, and he knows which river in the fork in the river you should take. There's nothing he can't do for you. He is the life preserver and navigator that I should never, not even for a moment, be without. Let's get close to Jesus, really seek to know him, and reclaim our freedom.
Amen. That was so good, Angela. Mm-hmm. Well, I just pray that the listeners out there will just join us in inviting Jesus to come into the boat with us and to navigate our lives, because that's the only way we're going to have a successful voyage. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, there's another challenge that we face this season, and that's the challenge to get along in our homes and live with one another in an understanding way in the body of Christ. And so I thought maybe I would address this area today about living with one another in an understanding way myself. You know, we've been hearing of domestic violence, of spousal abuse, child abuse, and we hear, you know, that there's just crisis line calls that have increased. Mm-hmm. The government is pouring millions of dollars into handling mental illness. Mm-hmm. All of these things have come about because of the COVID-19 season. And so many families, like Angela mentioned, they're together all the time. Children aren't in school, and fathers and sometimes mothers as well are having to work from home, and a lot of times there might be a crying baby in the background or whatever, children around their feet, and mothers suddenly find that they've got an increased workload. Now they're not only homemakers, but now they become educators. They're having to referee squabbles. They're having to come up with creative ideas of things for their children to do, and so our lives have really changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, loneliness is a really big factor, for especially for widows and seniors, single people who feel isolated because they're by themselves all the time. Then there's the fears of job loss, mm-hmm. our economy weakened. And with many people from all ages, right from children, right on up to adults, there's the fear of, will I get COVID-19? You know, I was just in the grocery store recently, and I found when people passed me in the aisles, they were literally holding their breath. You know what? I found myself doing the same thing. We all like a bunch of lepers in there. But really, it's that people have fears in their life through this. And there's the fears of the unknown, like what's going to happen in the world?
And these things can cause an underlying tension, anxiety, and even frustration for many people. And I don't know about you, but there can be a lot of mind battles that people are facing, and I've faced a few. But people are different, and they handle stress differently. You know, some people are kind of people that'll internalize the stress, and they isolate and they withdraw. And then there's other people, they just have outright crying spells and depression. And then there's those exploders that just get angry easily. And so we're all different in the way we're handling this life together, but we need to live with one another in an understanding way. And as Christians, we can use what the enemy has meant for evil to destroy us right now, or we can let God use it for good in our lives. And we can use it as a time to turn our hearts back to our children, as the Bible says. Or in this season, we can use it as a time to grow spiritually as Christians, to grow in our walk with the Lord, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Or we can regress, we can backslide, and we can live miserable lives and affect everybody around us in a negative way. And like Angela mentioned, it's all about choice. It's a choice. Well, I want to look at a scripture now. In 1 Peter 3, verse 4 and 7 to 12, in the New Living Translation, it talks that section there about godly living in the Bible. And I'm going to just kind of break in verse 4 to do with the wives. In 1 Peter 3, it says, "Wives, you should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God." Gentle and quiet spirit, wives. "In the same way, though, you husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together." There it is. "She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in this gift of God's new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered." And then to all Christians, it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. And don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, 'If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it, because the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right.'" You see, living with one another in an understanding way means that we need to be sensitive to one another as we walk through the season together. We must have extra grace for one another, courtesy, consideration, and respect. And let's have patience. You know what patience is? That's the power to endure and to forbear without complaining when we go through a difficult time or a disagreeable time in our lives. But again, it's a choice to be patient. In James 1:19, it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." And that goes for husbands to wives, wives to their husbands, children to their parents, parents to the children, because death and life are in the power of our tongue. And so if we've got that kind of power with our tongue, let's use our tongue to bring life into our homes and to bring life into others in the body of Christ. Yeah, parents, let your children see Christ in you as you live out consistently before them the faith that you have in God in these times. Because, you know, that's what's going to bring reassurance. That's what's going to bring security for your children when they see that and they have that need. Look for creative ways to bond with your family. Make life enjoyable together as a family. Do some things that you've never done before. You know, I've been looking on Facebook and I've been watching our LifeLinks family, and they've been sharing some great ideas of things that they've been doing in their homes or outside together. And I think our LifeLinks family, you're crazy with some of the ideas you've been coming up with. And Pastor Frank Hackett from the church in Cranbrook, he's leading the way in this, so if you want some ideas. But use this time wisely to build your house. The Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. So have fun and enjoy one another. You know, we need to be available to one another, to give one another a reassuring hug, if you're in the same family, that is, and a listening ear.
You know, last Sunday, I was going through a mind battle. This was right after the service. The service was good, but what Kim shared, there was something that stirred up in me, and I was going through a mind battle. And I just said, Dave, I need to talk to you about something I'm going through. And I'd like to tell you how it went, but I can't fill it all in here now. But guys, I just want you to know, it took him a bit to understand that I wasn't looking for his solutions, that I just needed his ear and a hug. Right, ladies?
That's right.
So for those of you who are alone and can't be with family, what can you do? Well, you can find things to help yourself keep busy. I like to make lists for myself and Dave too, of course, because the Bible says that in all labor there's profit, one of my favorite scriptures. So go for walks. Call up others in the church when you're feeling discouraged or you're in need of prayer. And this is so important. Do not let the enemy tell you that people are not interested in wanting to talk with you, because that's a lie. People in your life group, our pastors here at the church, other friends in the church, they're willing to talk with you when you go through these times. And as a church, we need to continue to check up on one another. It's all about living with one another in an understanding way. But the most important thing that we can do together is pray together. Because in 1 Peter 3 that we read, it said, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers." God's listening to us. So let's become warriors at this time, not worriers filled with anxiety. Let's be prayer warriors. And this is how we fight our battles. We sang that today. This is how we fight our battles. We fight our battles with praise. We fight our battles with prayer. And we're in this together. That's the slogan for COVID-19. We're all in this together, right? We're going to see victories as we pray and as the battle we know belongs to the Lord. Well, the last challenge that we're going to talk about today, and my daughter is going to address this area, and it's the need for unconditional love. And Tracy, I read a quote that you had put on Facebook a while ago, and it really ministered to me. And I wanted to read that quote today. It should be on your screen. But it says this: "I have never met a person whose greatest need was anything other than real unconditional love. You can find it in a simple act of kindness towards someone who needs help. There is no mistaking love. It is the common fiber of life, the flame that hearts our soul, energizes our spirit, and supplies passion to our lives." But Tracy, I want to know today, why did that quote mean so much to you?
Well, this quote spoke to me and challenged me that everyone needs unconditional love, especially in the season of the pandemic. Showing kindness in small ways, like encouraging one another with a phone call or a text. God will sometimes prompt me to pray for someone or to bring food or a gift to someone. When we start to reach out to others, we get ministered to ourselves. It will energize our spirit and bring passion to our lives. Catherine Gagne started a Facebook to our two intersecting streets that we live on. Connecting, caring, and looking after other people's needs has brought us closer together. I love the community that we have grown, and I am looking forward to our block party as soon as we can celebrate together. Ooh, ooh. Unconditional love is known as affection without limits or conditions. It does not depend on a person's circumstances or characteristics. As many of you know, I was adopted at 3 months in Dave and Linda Wells' family. I am the eldest, and Joel is my younger brother. I just want to set that straight. My parents could see that I struggled with rejection and unconditional love, and they loved me my whole life. My dad made a point of telling me often that he loved me and I was his special girl. My mom, she's the heart of the family. She taught me everything I know, the good and the bad. She has a heart of gold, and I love how she shepherds and loves people. I love you, Mom. I grew in an environment of loving God and living our lives for him. We are a family ministry. In spite of this, I struggled with unconditional love. I would have had times of happiness for a bit, but then only to be robbed by lies and doubt. It was like a hole in my soul, a gnawing ache that would not go away. In fact, I joke all the time, I felt like a Fruit Loop in a bowl of Cheerios. I heard the words by family members that they love me, but it would not penetrate my soul. There was a deep longing to fill the vacant hole. Words of love would not stick. Then I start to look for love and acceptance with through other people and places. I was married and divorced in a span of 2 years. If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love others. I spiraled out of control. Through a failed marriage, I turned to alcohol, drugs, and men. I was so wounded, hurt, and angry. My dad said it was like hugging a cactus when trying to love me. I was in a dark place with no value, no vision, and I felt like a complete failure and a waste of space. I tried to jump into a moving train one night completely intoxicated, and someone grabbed me just before I could do it. I felt the hand of the Lord upon me in my darkest place many times. I was in a lot of relationships and became pregnant with my daughter, Tamika Joy. I cried out to God the moment I found out I was pregnant. I have been sober since that moment 22 years ago.
Yes.
God met me at that moment and he heard my desperate cry. It was 5 o'clock in the morning when my daughter was wheeled down to me, screaming to be fed. She was placed in my arms, and I remember feeling unconditional love for the first time. God spoke to me that he loved me so much that he entrusted me with my daughter. No strings attached, just pure love. There's a story in the Bible about a woman named Mary Magdalene. Our family just watched the Chosen series on YouTube these past weeks. In the book of Luke 8:2, we read that Mary was a woman who was delivered from 7 demonic spirits. She had many things to overcome in her life. I love the scene in the movie where Jesus calls Mary. Mary of Magdalene, she replies, "How do you know my name?" Jesus replies, "Thus saith the Lord who created you and he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Jesus places his hands on her head, and Mary begins to weep from her inner soul. Her body slumped into Jesus, surrendering. I believe she felt Jesus' overwhelming, unconditional love. She knew her sins were forgiven. Mary became a devout follower of Jesus. She traveled with him and ministered to others. Conditional love is earned. Unconditional love is freely given, limitless. How am I overcoming the feelings of rejection and conditional love is by choosing to accept love. The lies of the enemy can be strong in my head at times. Repenting for my doubts and beliefs, choosing to trust God and by reading his word. By being accountable to people I trust, if there is no breakthroughs, go for counseling. It so helps. By serving others, stop thinking of yourself. As Jenny mentioned earlier, listening to uplifting music, it creates a whole different atmosphere. This is the one I'm still working on. Be still and listen to the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love is forever unwavering." God blessed me with a husband, my soulmate, 6 years ago. My brother Joel married us, and he testified that it was a miracle that what I had gone through, that I could actually love a man. God has done a healing in me, and I give him all the glory and the honor. Amen. He has blessed me with a new grandson, Kari. Happy first Mother's Day, Tamika. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the unconditional love for Kari and Tamika is endless. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails."
Amen. Whew. Well, I always get emotional hearing that testimony.
As I remember those 7 years of persevering prayer, but it's so good to know when we persevere in prayer that God answers prayer. And so thank you for that, Tracy, for being vulnerable. Well, church, that's all for today, but I just want to encourage us that we can really emerge victorious from this time of COVID-19 season. If we draw close to God and we just draw for him his enabling grace, he's going to help us learn to handle those disappointments then in our life, to deal with that lethargy that we feel that comes creeping in, to live with one another in an understanding way if we do, as Tracy said, and respond to people with unconditional love. You know, his grace is going to help us. We can do all things, right, through Christ who strengthens us. But, you know, you may be out there today and you may be listening to us and you find yourself struggling through this challenging season. And you're just concerned because you're going through some of these things. Well, I want to say today, you don't need to go through this challenging time by yourself. Jesus wants to help you. He wants to help you in your life. But you know what you need to do first? You need to repent of your sin, of trying to do life on your own, and ask him to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. If you're sincere about that, he will hear you today. He will come in and he will help you to go through the struggles of life, not just in this COVID-19 season, but in the future too. So God bless you. Have a great day, everyone.